This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we converse about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And if you have any comments that you'd like to make today, pre-4th of July weekend, we'd love to hear from you. Yes, indeed. Any wildlife encounters this week, any conversations you might have had with somebody about hunting, any observations you've made, any fishing adventures you've had, maybe you did a little groundhog hunting or something, I don't know. Bird watching, you just give us a call here at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, and we will be glad to have that conversation. As a matter of fact, you guys are running the show the first hour. We have a guest coming on the second hour. We're going to talk about white perch fishing with our buddy Butch Webb from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He's a white perch guy, so... Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe the 4th of July is here already. I have no idea where the time has gone this spring. Just absolutely no idea. The year is half over. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Well, it is what it is. So it's just going by so quickly for me for some reason this year. So it is what it is, and we just continue to move forward with our lives and our adventures and our work, and we just... take what comes and deal with it every day. So that's my philosophy. But you know, anyway, we would welcome your comments about the outdoors, fishing, or anything else. Let's talk to, there's Captain Rob from Tillman Island. Good morning, Captain. How are you? Hello, sir. You're on the air.
Hello, Alan.
Yes, Rob. How are you?
Captain Rob, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Not much. I just wanted just to touch base with you on something here, and it's kind of a, I guess it might be a touchy subject, but I had a good friend of mine, and well, really a couple friends, but a good friend of mine is a commercial crabber. Last week was crabbing down in down off of Tillman, and in the morning before he went to the guy to the boat, he had a mosquito bite that was on his hand, and he, you know, crabbed the day, got done crabbing. And when he was baiting up his trot line, he noticed that his left hand started swelling up real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a matter of about 20 minutes, it started turning black.
That's not good.
He doesn't remember getting back to the dock. All he remembers is when he got over to University of Maryland, shock trauma. In the process, they found out that he had this waterborne flesh-eating disease, and they wound up having to remove... the majority of the tissue from his wrist to his elbow on his left arm. And this is like the third or fourth outbreak of this down in the bay, you know, both Western Shore and Eastern Shore. And my question is if we have all these quote-unquote quasi special interest groups that are leading the charge for cleaning up the bay, I mean, you know, I've been working on the water almost 40 years. It's getting worse and worse as the years go on. I don't remember this back in the 60s and 70s and 80s that this was occurring. And, you know, it's just kind of a little scary because it's not, you know, not just commercial people. I had a good friend of mine from Baltimore that his father wound up losing his left arm to it, and it happened down in Taylor's Island down there, and it's been about 10 years ago. But it's, you know, it's not just in this area. It's Upper Bay, Lower Bay, and it's... just something that's, you know, it is concerning, you know, that if people are out there and, you know, they're pulling an anchor or something like that, I think what they need to do is, you know, if they do get a cut or a scrape, the doctor did say to carry bleach on board to keep your hands, you know, if you do get a cut and you get that mud and water in it, is to keep it bleached and, you know, keep your hands clean. But, you know, I hate to see this get worse and worse.
I'm not sure that bleach is the best way to go with that. I'm thinking maybe hydrogen peroxide was a little bit
correct.
But you know, you guys do what you want with the bleach. Well, the fact that we've been reporting here, honestly, I mean, people don't like to hear this, that we have we've had a couple of times experts, and I've printed articles on mycobacteriosis in striped bass.
Right.
You got to know, and anybody out there has got to know that, especially in warm temperatures, the Chesapeake Bay is literally a soup of bacteria and things like
right.
that. I mean, it's not, you know, this is not the ocean where even the ocean. I mean, I don't even swim in the ocean, to be quite honest with you, along any of the beaches on the East Coast. But people have got to understand there are, and I don't know why they don't, but there are waterborne things, bacteria, diseases, whatever you want to call it, that can harm them. And if you expose, you know, your skin is the largest organ on your body, and it's very resistant and very resilient. But if you got a cut or a break on it, you've already created a port for that bacteria to enter. And
right.
When you're a commercial fisherman, you're handling a large degree of fish and crabs and things like that live on the bottom and swim in that stuff, and you got to be a little more cautious about it.
Right.
I'm not sure that your friend with that flesh-eating disease that you called it, that fish handler's disease, is quite that fast-moving. I think there might have been something else there that didn't necessarily come from the water.
Well, the doctor said that it is waterborne, because they had another case of it that came from down in Tillman last year, where a gentleman scraped his leg, or really he was pulling a pot off his dock, and he scraped both of his legs. Well, he spent almost 3 months over at University of Maryland with that same problem.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it just concerns me that, you know, here we are at a critical time in the stage in the Chesapeake of, you know, trying to get things cleaned up and get things, you know, into better shape, and then this stuff just starts rising more and more.
You made that statement more and more. How do we know? I mean, we don't know how many instances there have been in the past. I mean, you say it more and more, but we don't necessarily know that.
Right.
I don't know if you read the Department of the Environment news release, but Maryland achieved its 2012-13 pollution reduction targets for bay restoration.
Right.
What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, with the pollution reduction, the thing, you know, Al, that concerns me about that, and this is something that I've dealt right with MDE on issues with the watermen, is that back years ago when we had your wastewater treatment plants, and, you know, we were started targeting, you know, our nitrates, nitrogen, and phosphorus and everything else going into the bay. One thing that didn't exist, and this is what concerns me, back in the early 80s, the chemicals and the materials that they were using for the reduction of these pollutants in the bay were working, you know, rather well. But with the insurge, or the influx, rather, of these new antibacterial, I mean, it's, people don't understand how much it's used, but antibacterial hand soaps, antibacterial dishwashing, antibacterial laundry detergent, it affected these wastewater treatment plants. So they changed their, I guess you call it their medium that they use, and their wastewater treatment plant. I was wondering, is something like this, to where the good bacteria, it was being affected by these antibacteria products that came on the market in the early 80s, so that they've changed their medium and applying in these wastewater treatment plants. It could be something, you know, something of that fact.
Well,
that,
I think, you may have a point there. I mean, you dump a bunch of the antibacterial stuff into, it's just like, how do I want to say it? When you treat your body with antibiotics, you know, you kill the good along with the bad. I mean, your gut needs billions of bacteria to move things along and cause the digestive process to progress. And
right.
That's why people eat things like yogurt and take supplements like these probiotics and things like that, because, you know, we've tried to kill everything that we can, not only on contact, but, you know, when we have these general antibiotics, you know, we run to the doctor and give me an antibiotic. And, you know, sometimes it's better to let things take their course. But you have a point about that. I'm not sure about what they've changed in these wastewater treatment plants, but, you know, again, you just got to think that, you know, you've got warm water out there. I don't know what the bay temperature is right now, but if you've got a cut on your, look, any of us who have fished have been spined or cut, and we see what just a normal slime and bacteria on a fish can do to your hand. I mean, you know, you get stung, right. You get hit by a catfish, you get hit by a fin, that injury gets sore, it may get infected, you know, in the normal course of things. Now you add to that other factors, like you mentioned, some of the things that are swimming out there,
right.
You know, and I'm talking about microscopic things. You just have to exercise another level of caution. You know,
right.
A lot of guys are using gloves to handle fish now. You know,
right, right. Because we even have a charter captain down in Tillman that has a disease in his right hand, and you know, he's on heavy antibiotics and. Excuse me, he's being treated for it, and it's coming along good. But it just, you know, I just want to just put out a concern there that if, you know, you are crabbing or you are fishing and, you know, you do have a cut that, you know, you get cut by a crab or spiked by a fish, you know, have some bleach on board or some heavy antibacterial soap or something and watch it, because this, you know, this gentleman's going through a real hard time right now. He's, you know, and he's in his what they call... They call them the golden years, but they're not too cold.
Well, let me put this forth, Bob. Let me put this forth. You said your friend had a mosquito bite.
Right.
How does he know it was a mosquito bite?
It was. I mean, he had just a little bump on the back of his hand.
And okay.
Like,
now let me.
I asked him the same thing.
Let me stop you right there.
It wasn't like a recluse.
A brown recluse spider. I can tell you that would cause that tissue damage.
Right.
That would be something. That would be something that would act that quickly, as far as his flesh turning black and things like that.
Right.
You said a mosquito bite, and it just dawned on me. You know, Kathy was bitten twice by a brown recluse spider. One of those bites, I believe, helped to accelerate her decline in health. And
right.
Because she had to have two surgeries on that brown recluse bite, and that put her pretty much bedridden for almost 2 months. And that can be a serious, serious thing. And we knew what it was, and we got to it right away. If this guy left this thing go, you know, I ain't nothing. I mean, I can hear a waterman doing that, you know, just a little bug bite or something, you know, no big deal.
Right.
And that poison, depending on how much poison. You know, the other thing, I'm not sure if a black widow can do this, but I've discovered black widows on the Eastern Shore and in Frederick County. So, you know, there's other things that can cause that type of damage other than a waterborne illness, Rob.
Right.
So, you know, just keep that in consideration before you blame everything on the water.
Alan, I had asked him that, and he said that the doctor had a whole toxology on it. And I said, could it have been a spider bite? And he said, no, that was that. I can't remember. I wish I could. I can't remember the specific name. It begins with an F. Is the disease that he had.
Okay.
I can't remember to save my life right now, but that's what I asked him specifically. Could it have been a recluse? And he says, no, they've ruled all that out because, you know, now he's got to go back. They've removed like 90% of the tissue, his elbow, and then now he's got to go back to skin grafts.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hmm.
But I did have a good friend of mine who got bit by a recluse, too, in the shoulder.
And, yeah.
Whew, man, I mean, it looks like a great white got a hold of him.
No, it can be very devastating, no question about
it. Yeah, just so that you know, to the outdoorsmen there in Maryland, the hunters and fishermen and everything, if you know, if you're out there on the water and you know, something does happen, you know, make sure you you know, you can keep it clean, you know, get it cleaned out real good, because I just hate to see anybody else go through what a lot of people have been going through.
Well, I appreciate that. And not necessarily a lot of people, Rob, but a select few people have suffered because of their injuries on the bay. You know, there's other things out there that can hurt you. Cow nose rays can drive that spike into you and debilitate you. So that happened to the gunsmith down at Clyde Sports Shop, Lawrence. He spent a lot of time on his back after being hit by a cow nose ray. So, all right, buddy, appreciate the call. Thanks, Bob. Sorry, I had to go there. We got other things to do. Move right along here. It's time for the. Let's see where we are here. Oh, yeah. I've got to tell you folks about Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is located exit 39B, Dominion Road, right off Route 50 on Kent Island, you know, just across the Bay Bridge. And they've got everything you can need, want, or imagine for fishing. I mean, they've got rods and reels. They've got the wind line on your empty spools, and you get your trolling reels ready to go. They've got all the rockfish tackle all the way down to the white perch panfish stuff, you know, for spot and panfish. They've got all the live bait and everything for crabbing, too. Everything from pier pots to, you know, crab traps and trot lines and all that's good stuff, as well as crab bait. So why not check them out? And if you're getting ready for archery season, well, they carry Parker and they carry Matthews, Mission crossbows, Barnett crossbows, and all the good stuff. Chesapeake Outdoors. And they have a friendly and knowledgeable staff that will help you find what you need, too. Chesapeake Outdoors, again, located on 39B off Route 50. That's right across the Bay Bridge. Dominion Road is what you look for. And if you want to give them a call, that phone number, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the mid-bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Leskin solving. Supreme Court strikes down protester zones at abortion clinics. Monday night, 9 to 11 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on past just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
You know, Rob made a good point about some of the dangers out there in the outdoors. We face them every day. If you're a hunter or a fisherman, you know, there are, the little things can sometimes get you. You know, I was thinking about the different things to, you know, kind of just kind of thinking about different things that are dangerous to you. You know, ticks, for example. I was talking to a friend of mine. We were out a couple weeks ago. Walking our lease out in Montgomery County, piece of property that I'm involved in out there, looking for deer stands and deer trails and, you know, perhaps a shed if there's anything left. And we walked through a lot of grass, a lot of fallow fields and you know, through the woods and so forth. And we had sprayed down with some Sawyers for to guard against ticks, sprayed our boots down. And sure enough, that afternoon after we were back, I found, you know, a little scratchy thing on me, and on my back, I reached around. There was a dog tick, or, you know, wood tick, or whatever they are. That wasn't particularly a deer tick, but, you know, those things can cause tremendous damage to your health. But does that stop you from going? No, of course not. You know, there's always danger. There's danger, you know, driving to work every day. There's danger all about us. You're getting caught in some bad weather somewhere. So, you know, there are tens of thousands of people on the Chesapeake Bay every day that aren't affected by some debilitating disease or attack of some kind. But the danger is there, even though the percentage is small. Now, where the danger is going to be is when there are too many people that are using the waterway, you've got a holiday coming up again this coming weekend, 4th of July, and we've got warnings from the Coast Guard, the Department of Natural Resources, the typical stuff, keep a life jacket on board, wear it, this and that, the other thing. But here's something that came from Boat U.S., about the special caution being required by boaters on the 4th of July weekend. A long day in the water exposed to the elements combined with crowded waterways and alcohol consumption could be a recreational boater's ultimate undoing this July 4th holiday weekend. Chris Edmondson is the president of Boat U.S. Foundation. It's mayhem. So pull out all the stops and make safety priority number one to ensure you have a wonderful time on the water. Now, here's some stuff you may not think about. Everyone wants to see the show. Every boat owner becomes popular on the 4th of July because they've got the boat. Whoa, that doesn't mean everyone can safely come aboard. Overloading combined with intense wake action always spells trouble on recreational boating's most highly trafficked holiday. Keep to the boat's capacity limit. Ensure everyone has a seat inside the boat. Have a life jacket for everyone aboard and wearing life jackets, especially after the fireworks end, when the risk of a nighttime collision is the greatest, is a wise move. There's going to be a lot of people around the harbor watching the fireworks, you know. So, and there are going to be folks that have been drinking all day. And there are going to be folks that are out there that are, you know, that think they have the right to the particular spot on the bay because that's where they sat last year. Okay. Another good tidbit of information. Get all the lights working. In the dark, the only way to determine a boat's direction is by seeing its navigational lights. Fix any broken lights before you go and ensure they're visible from 360 degrees. That's what that little red and green light is. That's what those two lights are on the back of the boat, so people know who you are, where you're. They don't necessarily know who you are, but they know you're coming and they know which direction you're headed. You might be surprised that just because the light switch is turned on, it doesn't mean your nav lights can be seen from every quarter. So make sure you check them and double check them. Okay, paddleboarders. Stand-up paddleboards, kayaks, and canoes are great, but not in the middle of a nighttime fireworks display. I know, it sounds exciting to get on the kayak and go out there in the Inner Harbor. Wearing a headlamp or hanging glow sticks around your neck isn't enough to be seen and may confuse other boaters. If you do insist on going out, stay very close to shore and away from the boating traffic. Have a U.S. Coast Guard-approved nav lights. Keep clear of any channels, marinas, or launch ramp areas. Assume that no one can see you. These are not your normal tips, are they? I commend Boat U.S. for bringing out some of this stuff. All right. Patience is a virtue. Wait a little bit after the fireworks show ends for boating traffic to thin out before you haul anchor. It's also better to pass other boats astern to avoid anchor line entanglements. One of the top reasons why boaters will call for on-water assistance from Towboat U.S. or Vessel Assist Fleets Wait a little bit after the fireworks show ends for boating traffic to thin out before you haul anchor. It's also better to pass other boats astern to avoid anchor line entanglements. One of the top reasons why boaters will call for on-water assistance from Towboat U.S. or Vessel Assist Fleets. Oh, because the anchors get tangled up and they can't get them apart. So they need somebody to help them out. Imagine you going along, grab somebody's anchor, and suddenly you're doing the mating dance of the dragonfly. That's not good. All right. The 24-hour dispatch call centers from Towboat U.S. light up like a Christmas tree after fireworks shows end because of so much trouble. Check your dock. Before you invite everyone down to the lake house, ensure that any dock with electric service or a boat tied up to it isn't leaking any stray current into the water. Minute amounts of alternating current in fresh water can be hazardous to swimmers and lead to electric shock drowning. We're having just a happy show today, aren't we? Yeah, electric current, not water current. It's an easy way to check your dock is with a circuit tester and a clamp meter. If in doubt, just shut off all the electricity to the dock, relax, and enjoy the fireworks. Don't even think about it. You don't want those lights out there anyway, all those mosquitoes and nasty stuff. Anyway, and finally, boat sober. While it's embarrassing to be arrested for boating while intoxicated, it also means the boat driver's forgotten his or her responsibility to keep everyone aboard safe. Wait until after you've tied up for the night before drinking. Or one of the hundreds of law enforcement officers assigned to increased patrols may have to remind you in a very unpleasant, humiliating, and costly way. Drunk driving on the water can cost you your driver's license, too. Thank you, Boat Owners of America. Boat Owners Association of the United States, Nation's leading advocate for recreational boaters. 500,000 members and a great insurance plan. So good tips. Good tips. Make sure everyone has a life preserver. And if you're on the water, put it on. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Email address, Ellis, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Your local sporting goods store license issuing agent may just have the new Maryland Guide to Hunting and Trapping. Excuse me. Everything that's new and exciting in the Hunter's Guide is there. And we just want to tell you that there are some things happening in the background that could affect your upcoming turkey season. So we'll keep an eye on that and let you know if there's anything that you need to know. So let's talk to David in Parkville. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's going on?
Your friend with necrotic tissue, that's something that's been going on for a long time on the bay.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything new, and I don't think there's any upsurge. But
and if you remember, we had Pisteria before at one point.
The Pisteria hysteria? Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a legitimate bug.
No, it is not. So
No,
it's not.
Well, there's research done at the University of North Carolina on it.
No. Yeah. Okay, and what does that mean?
Well, it's a protozoa that gets in, that becomes...
And how often have we had an outbreak?
We haven't since the chicken manure stuff was cleaned up.
David? Unfortunately, you have been, as a friend of mine used to say, marketed. I don't know if you know the story behind that whole thing, but you mentioned a research in the University of North Carolina. There was an ego and a reputation on the line there, and most fisheries managers look at that as a kind of a blip on the radar screen, and they're not calling it necessarily a... and nor am I, a hoax, but they are certainly taking a look at how that whole thing was presented. A, it has nothing to do with chicken manure. B, it has nothing to do with pig manure. C, I think I'll just drop it at that.
Okay. Well, that's not the reason I called, though.
Okay. Yeah, Pisteria, by the way, Pisteria wasn't any danger to humans, just so you know.
It affected like three people with some neurologic problems.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Allegedly.
Thank you for adding allegedly, David.
Well, it was around the Pocomoke River. It wasn't anywhere else in the bay.
Wasn't anywhere else in the bay, was it?
No.
Hmm. Okay.
But what I wanted to talk to you
about... And why are we dwelling on it?
Pardon me?
Why are we dwelling on that?
No, I was just pointing out that there's always been bugs of some kind or another in the bay. It's nothing new. Stuff lives there. It's part of the ecosystem.
Okay.
But my thing that I wanted to bring up is that Exelon is applying for a 45-year permit to continue running Conowingo.
Right.
And the Army Corps of Engineers has put out a paper, or is supposed to be putting out a paper this month, so they only have a couple of days, because the sediment behind that is so filled in that there has to be some kind of reclamation project to make that dam viable.
How often do you listen to the show?
And I was just wondering if you had looked into that at all, or we're following that.
Actually, it's above my pay grade, Dave.
It's above your pay grade?
Well, yeah, that is above my pay grade because it is above my pay grade. I know it's a matter of concern. We've mentioned it here on the show. We know that something has to be done. We know that Exelon is trying to manage Conowingo Dam long term. We've talked about it here. We know that any mitigation of that, the way it is right now, is going to be a good thing. But long term, what's going to happen to when they start moving that sediment around?
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting. I guess I did not live here at the time, but
yeah.
After Agnes, there was so much nitrogen and the upper bay that it really did decimate a number of fish species for a long time.
You're blaming it on nitrogen. Okay.
Well, fertilizers that are collected in that soil. I mean, the problem is...
Well, what about Hurricane Sandy when they opened all the storm gates? What happened then? That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ah,
I don't
okay.
think we're open as long as yeah. for Agnes.
I didn't think so. Okay. Dave, thanks. I appreciate your comments. There we go. Let's talk to Bill in Hampstead. Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm hanging. How about you?
Good. I have a very simple question about where to catch fish. I'm going to take a charter boat out sometime mid-August and didn't know if maybe you could recommend a particular area.
I would go probably mid-bay. The fish are spread out, of course, across the bay by that time. But Mid-Bay is always a good bet, and the reason is because the Mid-Bay captains have access to most of the good spots. Chesapeake Beach is always a good shot, and I'm not trying to pick that one over the other. I mean, Tillman Island has some good captains. Ken Island has some good captains, but there's places on the bay that are more accessible, and these guys will fish. Let's say, you know, rather than go on a 2-hour boat ride to get to fish, they'll take you 15-20 minutes out in front. Gas docks or whatever it might be, and that's probably where you're going to find the most fish. Now, on the upper bay here, you know, you might want to consider a live lining trip with a live spot and fish at the Bay Bridge, fish the pilings on the Bay Bridge. That's kind of an exciting trip to do. And, you know, you're not going to catch huge fish, but there will be guys that will still want to troll during that time. And you want to ask those questions. What kind of fishing are we going to be doing? And you may get a little evasive answer because they may not know what's working the best, and they may set up to troll and find out that it's going to be live lining, or they may set up to live lining and conditions might lead to trolling, that type of thing. So kind of determine what you're after necessarily. Are you after, is everybody after their 2-striped bass and everybody goes home? Or do you want to make a day of it? Do you want to catch some perch? Do you want to catch some bass? Do you want to go for, spot first in the morning and catch your bait and then go out and, try to live line some striped bass and whatever else might bite? But my advice on that is it would be, consider the Mid-Bay or even the Lower Bay, the Solomons to even some of the Potomac River guys have access to fish at that time of year.
Great. Okay, well, I appreciate the advice. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, Bill. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. What do you think of the way this day is going on? You're going to get a disease, and the bay is going to be polluted. Come on, somebody give me some positive stuff, man. Yeah, I don't really feel like dressing in my hazmat outfit going out in the bay. I'm digging shorts and T-shirt and just go out and have a good time. Give me a break. Look, I don't drink. I don't drink when I'm boating. I might have a beer when I come in or something like that. I'm not a big drinker anyway. Last time I had a beer was 1 month ago, maybe. I don't know. I can't even tell you. That's how little of a concern it is to me, And but, a lot of people think that that's the way to a good time. The way to a good time is just to have fun, go out and enjoy your day, enjoy the people you're with and have a good conversation and plan an activity that creates fun for you rather than just making, booze a part of it. Okay. It might help you relax, but, out on the water is not the place for it. Just like out on the highway is not the place for it. You've got a heavy, fast vehicle that can cause a lot of damage if it hits another heavy, fast vehicle, whether you're on the highway or on the waterway, and you can hurt people. So, ask Don Dwyer. But anyway, a little stretch here. Oh, boy. Ooh, okay. So, that's where we are. What can I bring to you? Oh, you want to take a break? Let's take a break. Yeah, I'm getting a little. Let's talk about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They've been there since 1957. It started out as a little bait shop and has grown to one of the leading firearms dealers in Baltimore, specializing in browning. And if you're, this summer, get ready for waterfowl season, you want to do some sporting clays or trap or skeet shooting, well, Clyde's has the browning that you could use for that, and we like to recommend the Satori 725. Of course, there's a number of shooting sports firearms made by Browning shotguns, but the 725 now has just come out in a 20 gauge, with a little lighter recoil, a little little nicer to shoot, not as heavy duty on the shoulder. And, you know, for guys my age and so forth, I switched over to a 20 gauge for that kind of stuff a couple of years ago, and I enjoy it. But, and even for some waterfowl hunting, and especially for, you know, doves and upland and things like that, you can really enjoy that sport at an advanced age like mine without dislocating your shoulder. Where am I going with this? I'm talking about Clydes, right? I'm seem to be digressing on their commercial, but Clydes is they've got all that stuff and all the ammunition too. But if you need a firearm for home protection, or if you need a firearm for hunting, please take a look at the Browning stuff at Clyde Sports Shop. I mean, the new A5 with 100,000 rounds or 5-year guarantee. You gotta love that. So, and if you're a fisherman, call that 24-hour fishing hotline. Clyde has everything you need for fishing too: rods and reels and live bait, frozen bait, crabbing supplies, crab traps, crab seasoning, crab pots. They've got it all at Clyde Sports Shop. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. And the fishing hotline, 410-247-3474. 247 Fish.
Fine weather in the forecast here through the weekend. Generous sunshine here for this Saturday as our highs climb into the mid-80s. Clear skies tonight, lows in the mid-60s. More sunshine tomorrow. Tomorrow's high mid-80s. Make it 3 in a row Monday. Sunshine mid-80s. Richard Duetta at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBO.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The President of the United States of America, the Speaker of the House, and the President of the Senate are showing the leadership of a caboose.
Tom Maher tackles the hot topics with his no-holds-barred opinions on the hottest issues affecting you.
Something must be done, and for the security of our country, troops should be on the way to the border today.
Tom Maher. Weekdays from 9 to noon. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Fish and worms. fishing worms. Everybody's wishing they had fishing worms. Find them in the garden, turn over a rock. Slip them in your sandwich, put them in your sock. That's fishing worms, fishing worms. Well, my big sister, she don't care for my fishing worms. Big ones, little ones, they scare her to death.
Okay, we're back. Let's see. Let's talk to we got Elwood and Bruce on the line. Let's talk to Elwood. Good morning, Elwood. How are you doing?
Fair to middling.
Okay. What's up?
Living. Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Elwood?
Yes?
What is your question?
What happened to the shad fish and the herring? I used to work in Annapolis, and I go down to the fish market and weekends, and especially in the spring, and I would get my shad roe and shad fish, and I'd get the herring roe,
mm-hmm.
which I enjoyed. But here of late, especially, well, occasionally I would find that in the butcher shops or grocery stores and the fish department. But anymore, nothing that resembles those fish.
Well,
now, is it overrun or pollution of the upper bay or the soil filling in? I don't know. I'm ignorant in those areas. And your range of knowledge in all aspects of outdoors is amazing to me. And so I thought I got a chance. There were lines were not ringing, so I thought I'd ask my questions.
Okay. The answer is that since we started building hydroelectric dams on the Susquehanna River, we've blocked the fish's access to its native spawning grounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now, we're just overrun from the upper reaches, from New York State, Pennsylvania, so forth, emptying into Maryland's Susquehanna. Is that what it is?
There are, I believe, 13 dams on the Susquehanna between Conowingo and New York, if I recall.
Wow.
Well, I believe it's something like that. So we blocked their access to get up into the traditional spawning areas, the upper reaches of the Susquehanna, the Juniata, and that type of thing. And so there's been a decline, and they've been watching the shad. They've been studying the shad. There's been a decline because of reduced opportunities for spawning. Same thing with the herring. Now, there may have been some overfishing. There may be some offshore overfishing, but there are commercial. There is a commercial season on shad, and particularly in New York. We import most of the shad that we get here in Maryland from the state of New York. I think there's a very limited fishery here, but I'm not sure about that. So the answer to your question is when there's fewer products, there's a smaller and smaller market. So the fish market may not, because of the expense and lack of demand, bring in those shad and that shad roe. Now I know where I get shad roe. Our creative director, Donna, likes shad roe, and in the springtime, I will go to a market in Easton that specializes in fish and pick up the shad roe. They do have bone shad there, but the herring there's a total ban on herring because of the decreased numbers. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, Elwood. Thanks for your call and comments.
Great show. Great show.
I appreciate
Thanks
it,
again.
Buddy. Thank you. See you. There goes Elwood. Bruce, good morning. Thanks. Hello, Bruce.
Yes.
You're up.
Morning. How you doing?
Good,
something
you?
A little positive.
Thank you.
About 2.5 weeks ago in the evening, probably quarter after 8:30, I live in southeast Baltimore City. And
right.
Back around Industrial Park, there was an open field
yep.
and some trees back there. I saw two deer. First, I saw a fox run across the field, and then I saw something run across the field right away. That's too big for a dog. And I looked closer. There's a couple deer. It was beautiful. I loved it.
How about that? Now, the first thing that ran across the field, you said it was a fox. Definitely a fox.
Yeah, it was definitely a fox.
Okay.
There were fox in that area, in my neighborhood,
okay.
Even on a residential street.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was thinking it might have been maybe a little fawn that you might have seen because they're so small and so red this time of year, and that could have been one of the reasons that the deer were in there as well.
No, I was definitely a fox.
Okay, yeah, I'm not disputing that. I'm just tossing it out there. Well, that's great. I'm glad you got to see nature at its finest. And we've been seeing does and fawns. Now the fawns are getting a little bigger. Some of them are still being born. So it is the season for fawning right now. So
well, it was a thrill for me. So.
I'm glad to hear it. All right.
Good show.
All right, buddy. Thanks. See ya. Yeah, I saw deer this morning at the corner of Old Court and Rolling Road. How about that? The lawn there at the school feeding along little buck. Hey, it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. And you know what? Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish. He's worth $10,000, at least till next week. And then he's worth $20,000. So, anyway, Diamond Jim is swimming in the Chesapeake just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call that number on the tag, you might just have captured a $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish or 9-inch crab, you can certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify for the Angler's Award. You'd win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. And prizes, well, yes, prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour, too. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? I hope so. Hey, coming up next, Butch Webb talking about